It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on this November 11th, Veterans Day. Good morning and welcome a week after an election that says so much still about our country and the divisions and the back and forth of opinion in America. Ultimately, consensus wins, as in the market got what it expected. So Democrats take the House, as was widely expected. Republicans hold the Senate, as was widely expected. And that's exactly why the market rallied for the week, up over 700 points on the Dow, despite the divisions that run so deep in America. Year to date now, the Dow up 5%, the S&P 500 up 4%. But really markedly, that Wednesday morning after the midterm elections, we just kind of knew that the market was going to head higher in a very significant way. As kind of just this sigh of relief, we've talked about this all year. Markets don't necessarily care that much about the outcome. They like to not be surprised. They weren't surprised here. And just getting past this great wall of uncertainty, that's why we can go back and look historically that post-midterm elections, the last 2 months of the year, November and December, that's when markets historically in these election years make almost all of their gains historically once this big wall of worry is out of the way. And we'll continue to see if that trend holds. We know that since 1946, the 12 months past midterm elections, since 1946, markets have been positive 100% of the time. So since the year 1946, once the midterm elections are over, 12 years out, markets have not been negative one time. Average rate of return, 15% post-midterm election. So getting this out of the way is just this massively important market kind of feat to get through it. And we're here. We're kind of on the other side of that. There was so much, and I want to talk about the elections for a minute here, kind of the implications here for markets. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Phone lines open 404-872-0750. Again, we are certainly due to take some calls here on the show. We're happy to do that. Would love to do that here this morning. So we're here. Phone lines are open. Give us a call, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. That has to do with your particular questions, whether it's election related or not, or economically related, or hey, what do I do from an investment perspective to move forward? I'd love just to get some objective advice and maybe another opinion on where me and where my family and I should be headed into the future. And I'm happy to do that here on a Sunday morning. That's exactly why we come in and hold this time in such high regard. And we take it so seriously to be able to do that. So Ryan Ely with me here this Sunday morning, as always, executive producer for the show for over 10 years. Wes Moss, your host. Again, phone number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're talking about midterm elections. Where do we go from here in the latter months of 2018? So good morning again. As we said, consensus wins. You could tell the next day right after the elections, the market was up 2%. There was so much excitement for this election. Almost as much excitement around these midterm elections as there was for the presidential election just 2 years ago. 114 million and counting, let's call it, at least 114 million Americans voted in this midterm election, which smashed the expectations, which were already elevated due to the enthusiasm really across the country, regardless of party, for this election. And that, my friends, is democracy at work. Yes, there's polarization. Yes, there's division in the United States. But that's democracy at work. Maybe it's because and there might be division, there might be this polarization, but that's okay. The fact that we're getting out and voting means that democracy is working. We are getting out and we are voting as a nation. And this is what sets America apart. This is what makes us special. This is what makes us the best nation to live in around the world and the best economy to live around the world, because we have a safe voice. We are able to express ourselves in so many ways, particularly through politics and politically, that sets us apart from almost the entire rest of the world. The trend here, though, is very clear. In the last 7 federal elections, we have removed, or voters have removed, the party in power 6 of those times. I'll say that again. Over the last several federal elections, we have removed the party in power in 6 of those elections. The reason, the 3% growth rate that this country has been so used to for 50-some years has been, to some extent, broken, really, until this past year. Growth rate we've gotten used to, that 3.1% down to 2%. That change in growth rate is a very big number. There's a $3 trillion gap now that's been created since the financial crisis. If we had continued to grow on that 3.1% GDP trend, we would be our GDP, our total economic output in the United States would be $3 trillion higher. Well, since the financial crisis, as we talked about for so many years here on the show, there's been something that has kind of cracked or broken. And that inability to grow in the same pace that we are used to as Americans has created discomfort. It's the 39-mile-per-hour economy we've talked about. It's like we're used to going 60 for 2,000 miles, and the last 500 miles of our trip, we have to throttle down all the way to 39. That creates uncomfortability. And that's exactly why we've seen the party in power get thrown out for something new, and then that doesn't work, and then they get thrown out for something new, and then that doesn't work, and they get thrown out for something new. Frustration, economic frustration on the part of voters here in the United States. And quite frankly, the trend has spread throughout the world. So voters are reacting to this. Until we get 3.5%, like we're seeing this year, and this is the good news, we're starting to see real economic growth back to trend and higher than trend right here in 2018. We will finish this year at a 3.5%, maybe even slightly higher than that, gross domestic product, GDP. That is a significant upshift from what we were used to over the past 8 or 9 years. So if we get that in a sustained way, and that is a possibility, until that is here to stay, we're going to continue to see this voter polarization. We're going to continue to see this voter division here in the United States. And that goes for other countries and nations around the world. And think about the uncertainty that this political in, then out, then in, then out creates. Healthcare gets voted in, big healthcare change, then it gets repealed. Then we're talking about back and forth. Taxes, well, we do a huge tax cut in 2018, and hey, it's working, but then all of a sudden there's talk, oh, well, could this get repealed if now there's a new party in power? Uncertainty. And that uncertainty will continue until we get sustained economic growth. The good news is we're seeing it this year. If we can continue the trend we're seeing this year in 2018, some of this political polarization might start to slow down. Republicans, of course, win the Senate. The Democrats won the House. And we have a Republican president. What does that combination look like historically? Republican Senate, Democratic House, and a Republican president. What's that combination look like? Well, we've averaged almost 11% annual rate of return when that combination has been the case. 10.8% to be exact, almost 11%. So where we are politically, quite frankly, is a good place to be from a market's perspective. The economy helped because we had a 3.5, we've been having a very solid economic year here in the United States. That's probably a big reason why the GOP was able to stave off what could have been potentially a big blue wave. If we had seen a 1.9% GDP rate this past year. Let me tell you something. These elections would have been dramatically different, and there would have probably been a blue wave. Voters have their voters are ready to make a change as soon as they sense something isn't working. So the fact that the economy has done so well over the past year or so, it's a big reason the GOP staved off this blue wave that you'd been hearing about for so long. Again, Congress now, Democratic 226 or so, GOP 198, Senate 51, 46, three independents. But the midterm elections are over. We're past that. And we know that that drives results for the future. We know that that drives markets higher. What happens in the third year of the presidential cycle? Well, we know that presidents do not want the economy to suffer. This isn't just our current president, but anytime the president gets into their third year, they start thinking about re-election. So we're starting to think about the year 2020. Presidents do not want the economy to suffer into the next election cycle, which now we're looking at 2020. That's why the third year of the presidential cycle is so strong. Remember, I'll say this quote again. S&P 500 has not declined over the next 12 months post-midterm election since 1946 with an average gain of 15%. We're in a good spot historically. We're in a positive current when it comes to markets as we move forward. Now that we've got these midterm elections behind us. Good morning and welcome to Money Matters here on this Veterans Day, November 11th. 2018. Call us in the studio, 404-872-0750. We will go to the phones. Thank you for being with us here on this Sunday morning here for Money Matters. Stay tuned. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. We'll go to the phones here, 404-872-0750. Jeff joins us from Roswell. Jeff, good morning. Welcome to the show. What's going on? How can I help?
Hey, Wes. Thanks for taking my call. I really love the show and your book, You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think. It helped me and another guy at work retire within a year after reading it. So,
ooh, I love to hear that, man. Jeff, thank you, my friend. So what's going on today? How can I help you today?
So the question has to do with transferring my employee 401k account to an IRA. I recently retired. The administrator of my former employee's 401k is Schwab, and I get more flexibility if I transfer the 401k to the IRA, so I'd like to do it. Here's the tough question. Schwab told me that there's a possible loss of protection if I transfer funds out of the employee 401k account. 401k accounts are covered by ERISA, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, but whether that's covered for IRA is a state by state, and they don't know if that's covered for Georgia.
So
the problem,
Jeff,
is if you get sued, you know, you're covered. So that's the question.
So good question. So what Jeff is asking here is that 401ks are protected by the federal law of ERISA, this Employee Retirement Income Security Act that was established back in the 1970s. That when you roll that money into an IRA, it does go by a state by state level, and again, this is, from what I've seen over the years here, Jeff, and I can just tell you what I've seen over 20-some years, even though the law for just now an IRA being covered under Georgia law and protection, which I would argue is probably not as strong as federal protection, I've had folks that have had $1 million in a Roth account, $1 million in regular IRA accounts, and still gone through, let's say, big real estate debacles where they had to file bankruptcy in certain ways. And I still haven't seen anyone be able to get to an individual retirement account. Now, there is the possibility of if you're taking distributions out of an IRA for a creditor to come in and garnish some of those distributions. So you take money out of an IRA, it gets reported to the IRS, you get a 1099. That's a possibility that I have heard of. In 20 plus years of doing this, I have not seen that happen, but I'm sure but that's where this gets a little bit murkier into talking to an attorney that specializes in bankruptcy law that specializes in bankruptcy protection, which is not my category of expertise. So I guess what I'm saying here is that that is a potential issue. If you're worried about, you know, having some sort of bankruptcy in the future, then that may be a consideration. But that's not something that I have seen in thousands and thousands and thousands of cases. To have somebody have an IRA versus a 401k, I have not seen an IRA taken or garnered, if you will, or broken into, if you will, due to that scenario. But again, I'm not an attorney. Probably a good topic for us to cover in the future to get more specific. Thank you for the call. You're listening to Money Matters. Stay tuned right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors, Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on this Sunday morning, Veterans Day 2018. And I want to pull together a couple of articles that I've done for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that have gotten a lot of feedback here. The first one is titled, How Much Americans in Their 50s. If you're in your 50s or close to your 50s, you may want to pay attention here. How does your nest egg compare? How does your nest egg compare to the rest of the country? How much have you saved relative to those throughout the United States? And then this weekend, as of today, we published good news for those who got a slow start on retirement savings. If you're 45 or in your 40s or your 50s, you're probably going to perk up here for a second, because we're going to talk about some of the numbers that your peers have saved for retirement. And if you feel like you've gotten a slow start, I have another study that I have done close to another 2,000 families as I continue to do research on retirement habits for those who are happy in retirement versus those who are unhappy. As you know, over the years, we've done more and more research on how to get to a place that is for happy retirees. And one of our goals, or one of my life goals, and the reason we continue to be in business, and the exciting thing that I get up and think about every day, is how do we create, or how do we help more and more retirees find happiness in retirement? I spent my entire career in the money industry, but I've always, as a kid, thought about the relationship between those two. Like, how much money do we have to have in order to be happy in retirement, or just at any given point? And the answer, and this is part of the book, You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think, it's not, the number isn't necessarily as massive or insurmountable as Wall Street will lead you to believe. Wall Street will say, look, you need $2.5 million just to get by in America if you want to retire. You need $5 million if you really want to hang it up and just go off into the sunset in America. And those numbers are just insurmountable for 99% of America. Yeah, there's a sliver of folks that get there. But for those of you listening, you're probably thinking, I can't get to $5 million. I'm not going to get to $2.5 million. So here's some of the numbers. Let's go to you. If you're in your 50s, you're thinking now, you're thinking about retirement, and you've been working towards this, and maybe you got a slow start. Maybe. You probably got a slow start, like most Americans, because you know, it took a while to get a job, and then you didn't get raises like you thought. And then, oh, by the way, you had kids, and kids cost $250,000 a pop over time. So it makes sense that most Americans are not at those big Wall Street numbers, $2.5 million, right? So these are some real numbers from the Economic Policy Institute that continue, and they've published these numbers for years and years. It didn't just crop up out of the blue. This is a reputable organization that keeps track of all this. The average retirement savings balance in America, ages 50 to 55, I'm going to give you two different numbers here, 50 to 55 and 56 to 61. So this first group in America, the average retirement savings balance is $124,831. Let's round it off, 125 grand for those between 50 and 55. So if all you save total for retirement is 125 grand, well, guess what? You're right there. That's average in America. If you're beyond that and you're saying, oh, Wes, I've got 300,000, 500, $1 million, then you're way, way beyond the average in America. For those between ages 56 and 61, the number, a little bit higher, 163,577. So how does your nest egg compare? Are you on track? Well, remember, in you can retire sooner than you think. We talk about how we've got to get to some certain checkpoints to be able to be comfortable in retirement. That one of those checkpoints is not $3 million. I mean, it'd be easy for me to say that. Oh, it'll be comfortable. Well, you got to get to $3 million. Well, that doesn't help very many people. It helps some people. Doesn't help a lot of people. So it's a combination of all these really big pieces of your financial planning makeup or the foundation. And one of them is to get your mortgage paid off, as an example. One of them is to map out multiple streams of income. But on the net worth side or the retirement liquid savings side, I want you to get to $500,000. That liquid net worth level, still a long way away for a lot of people. But if you get there, that in itself can produce enough per month over a very long period of time, typically to be able to supplement Social Security. Maybe you have a little pension. Maybe you have some other income streams. Maybe you have some rental income. Maybe you do some part-time work. Maybe you work a little longer. But getting to $500,000 in America, still way beyond most folks, and an attainable checkpoint to be able to be in, or what I have seen even from a research perspective and from a real life perspective, doing this for over 20 years, working with thousands of families over that period of time, that checkpoint gets people to the point where they can breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief and actually make a quote happy retirement work. Now, yes, that's right. You're saying, hey, Wes, money isn't everything. I get it. Of course it isn't. Part of the big theme in the book is something I call the plateau effect, meaning that as we, in the early stages of saving money, accumulating money, getting raises, anytime money's going up, we get a big increase in happiness in those initial stages of making more or saving more, and then it starts to plateau. It sets a plateau because then incrementally more money doesn't necessarily mean or lead to more happiness. It's because we kind of got to get to a certain point in America from an income perspective and a savings perspective to be able to just afford the expensive world that we live in. Then past that, once we're able to get to that point, an extra million or an extra 2 million doesn't really move the meter. But we got to get to the certain point. One of those crossroads, and I talk about a couple of these in the book, you can retire sooner than you think. One of those checkpoints for retirement is this $500,000 mark in liquid savings, because then that can produce another significant stream of income forever while you're in retirement. Now, this week, and the book again is, you can retire sooner than you think, because you can. The 5 money secrets of the happiest retirees. Couple of those secrets are, what are those financial checkpoints? How do you get there? Where do you need to be comfortable in America? So if you're waking up and you're listening to this segment, you're like, oh, wait a minute, let's start thinking about this, honey. Can't tell you how many folks have told me that they've read You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think in the bed. They're at night, they're reading in bed, passing it back and forth. I've heard about some rules. No reading in bed. But you can You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think. Now, this weekend, we published the good news about those who got a slow start. Because I know that if there are 10 people listening, 8 or 9 of those 10 folks listening got a slow start, because that's America. It's expensive. So this weekend's article in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution should probably talk and speak to a bunch of folks, because most of us got a slow start in when it comes to saving all that we're supposed to be saving. But I'm going to give you some good news on that slower start. If you don't have quite enough saved for retirement, there's a little bit of hope here. And again, we go back to the beginning of the article, goes back to J.P. Morgan, Merrill Lynch, Bank of America. They come out with these studies constantly, and they say that you know, they'll make you feel like you've done nothing. J.P. Morgan has a retirement savings calculator or a table that says if you're 50, if you earn 100 grand a year. So start doing that math in your head. Oh, I'm 52 and I'm making 110. Well, here's what JP Morgan says, that if you're 50, you earn 100 grand annually, you should have at least $450,000 saved today. 40, if you're 40 years old, you're making the same amount, making $100,000. If you're 40, you should have at least $250,000 saved. That would be great, and more is better, quote. But you and I both know that most Americans, from the statistics we just said from our last AJC article, are not getting the job done because life in America is expensive and it's hard to get there. So the numbers that the big financial firms tell you you got to get to, they're a little bit laughable. When 62% of working households, headed by folks at 55 to 66, have a liquid savings less than their average annual incomes, 62%, according to another study by the NIRS, which is the National Institute on Retirement Security. A 2017 report shows that for households age 50 to 55, the median retirement account balance was just $8,000. Now, remember, I just gave you two numbers. I've got a median and a mean. Remember, the mean is going to be the average. The median lines up everybody in a big row and says, here's the middle of that line. So it's very different math. And you know that we've got so many folks in America, let's call it millions, that have, let's say, virtually zero saved. That's why the median retirement account balance is just $8,000. For ages 56 to 61, the median retirement account balance is $17,000. So I gave you just the median, which is a much, much lower number because it really accounts for the long, long line of folks mathematically that just haven't saved anything. If you look at a mean number, which I think is a little more emblematic of where we should be in America, the numbers are $125,000 in savings on average, 50-55. And $163,000 on average, 56 to 61. If you're there beyond, you're ahead of most of America. So there's no way around all of this. We've got to get to a certain checkpoint to be able to feel comfortable. And again, after You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think, which was a survey of 1,350 plus folks, 46 different states, I've continued to do new research. And I have a new study with another close to 2,000 retirees across America to better understand their happiness level, their habits, and what accounts for it. That's been my objective, to help clients understand those critical elements of a happy retirement. That's what our whole firm North Star is, helping families find happiness in retirement. You know, that is the core value. That is the North Star of what we talk about at our firm, at Capital Investment Advisors. So if we're not at this multi-million dollar nest egg, and again, part of what we talk about is finding core pursuits. Those core pursuits are as important, if not more important, than getting to these financial levels. You know, my research shows you got to have at least 3.6 core pursuits. Those are the passions you have in retirement. Those are the activities and the hobbies that will bring joy and enrich your life in retirement. Those are arguably as important or more important than having the money to begin with, but really you need both. So if you're behind in this nest egg, and this is what this article in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution is this week, if you're behind, there's good news. If you're off to a slow start, there's good news for those nearing retirement who have gotten, you feel like you're behind, and you've gotten a slow start on savings. Yes, it takes discipline to do this. It takes perseverance to say, oh, I'm behind today, but I can make up for it. For that group, again, probably eight out of nine out of 10 folks listening, if you're behind and you're just getting started after at age 55 or beyond, the good news in my research shows that even if you get started at 55 and you're just really getting started, that group that gets started saving money still enjoys a higher percentage of happiness relative to unhappiness in retirement. Maybe that happiness comes from just now focusing all your efforts on, hey, catch it up. Maybe it's that you're now achieving something new and remarkable. Maybe it's, I don't know what the number is, or I don't know exactly what the reason is, but this is what the data shows me. You still got 10 to 15 years if you're just starting at age 55 to get some momentum to get to that $500,000 number. Yes, I still want you to do core pursuits. I'm going to name a couple of those when we get back. But the key here is to get going. And the good news is if you're just starting at age 55 plus, the odds are still in your favor to have happiness in retirement. You just got to get going. Good morning. You're listening to Money Matters. find me and the Money Matters team or more info about the book, go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Stay tuned. More Money Matters straight ahead. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
WSB.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here as we wrap up today. Listen, we are through the biggest hurdle, arguably, of the year. That's the midterm elections. Consensus, the winner, markets liked it the very next day after the midterm elections, up 2% for the week. We were up 2.8% for the Dow, up 2% for the S&P 500. Why? Not because of the outcome per se, not because the Republicans held the Senate and the Democrats got the House back. And that combination is good for markets, that we know historically that it is a Senate Republican, a Democratic House, a Republican president. That combination gives us a 10.8% annual rate of return historically. Not because of that, but because we are through that uncertainty of what midterm elections bring. We know that historically the S&P 500 has not declined. The next 12 months post midterm elections since 1946. That is a very long time. That is not just a coincidence of a historical market fact. That's because the same pattern over and over, happens. We're always worried about what that means. We're always worried, and we're through it. And we've got to do a prize pack. So good morning, Ryan Ealy, prize pack, my friend. Here we go. Ready when you are.
It's Jason for Myers. A pair of tickets to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra, The Ghosts of Christmas Eve, The Best of TSO, and more, coming to Infinite Energy Arena for two shows on Saturday, December 8th at 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at AXS.com. A portion of proceeds will benefit local charities, and we'll give it to caller number 5.
There you go, 404-741-0750. That was Jason Byers, not Ryan Ealy. Oh, Ryan Ealy, I forgot his voice. Poor kid. Well, not a kid anymore. But his voice basically just went out, and I know what that's like. So thanks for being with us here. I know we're short into 1 hour Money Matters. Thank you for tuning in. Pretty soon, starting in December, we'll be back to 2 hours. It's not going to be that far out, but find me and the Money Matters team throughout the week. It's easy to do so. Go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. If you see a copy of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, pick one up here on this Sunday. Look for the good news for those who got a slow start on retirement savings. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. Stay tuned. Best program on the planet right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Hi, this is Wes Moss, host of Money Matters. When I'm not here at WSB Radio, I'm at my Sandy Springs office with Capital Investment Advisors. We're a fee-only financial advisory firm, and we work with folks just like you to help them find happiness in retirement. If you'd like to focus on what makes you happy and not the ups and downs of the stock market, reach out to my team and schedule a free review for your retirement plan. You can find us at yourwealth.com. That's YOURwealth.com.